Except you come as humble as a little child, you cannot come. That's not just talking about them, that's talking about you and me. See, I believe in childlike faith. Here's what childlike faith is. It's simple faith. That's all it is. It's not educated faith. It's simple faith. Now, I was just sitting there thinking as I got to come up and preach behind them, I wish I was as clean before the Lord as they were. But you know, if you've been washed by the blood, you are. Because the Lord chose to take all your sins and put them behind his back. To cast them in the depths of the sea and to move them as far as the east is from the west. To clothe you in a garment as white as snow. So that you'd be able to sit at God's table. And all that's in the past, that's just the devil brings that up.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, here's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit convicts, and he says, that's sin. What the devil wants to do is make you feel bad all over, make you feel unworthy, and that's just not true. Because if it's under the blood, it's gone. Just a thought this morning. If you got your Bible, let's go to the book of Jonah. We're going to try to preach the whole book. I'm going to try to go as quickly as I can, and here's kind of what's on my heart this morning. I really want to spend the majority of the time, my thought is really in the second half of the book, because I don't know, I got some things this morning that I want to try to touch on that I've really never preached on in my life, and I just thank God for that. I want to tell you, I thank God for the times that I can get up in the pulpit and I can say, Lord, I've never preached on that before. Sometimes even say, Lord, I've never heard that preached on before. I like that too. You know why? Because we serve a great big God. Amen. I remember one time I was sitting down, I was looking on the computer, and you know, you can look stuff up on the computer. I'd look up some messages on the computer. But I was sitting there and I was looking at one of my favorite preachers at his website, and I was looking at some of the outlines. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, I was asking God for something. It's just like the Holy Spirit said to me. The Holy Spirit said, is this any better than what I've given you? And I said, no, Lord, it's not. I'm just going to rely on you. And I want to tell you something. That's what you've got to do. You've got to rely on him. Now, we're going to read in this book and we're going to try to get over to the third and the fourth chapter. But before we do, I just want to give you a historical overview of the book of Jonah. Now we know the story, and I want to read the first and the second verse, and I'm going to just walk through the chapters until I get to the place that I really want to share with you this morning and talk some more about, which is really in the third and the fourth chapter. But if you got your Bible, let's read the first and the second verse, and then we'll read just a few verses as we go through. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now the title this morning is Jonah and the Wicked City of Nineveh. Now, I say that because that's what God called him. He said, this is a wicked city. Now here's what we see in the first two verses. We see the call of Jonah. That God had put a call on his life, and he had told him to go. Now, if you read this book, here's something that I believe, based upon the context of this book, is that Jonah had a relationship with God, Jonah knew God, and Jonah knew enough about who God was and what God was that he knew the voice of God. Not only that, but he knew the character of God. He knew what God was going to do, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But there's a call that's on his life. Okay, and here's something to understand about the call. If God has put a call on your life, you might as well get ready to go.
Amen.
Okay, because there's nothing else that you're going to do that you'll ever find complete contentment. You'll never find complete happiness. You know, sometimes I see people answer the call, and I'm amazed that they're able to do it. But I heard a preacher one time, his name's Chuck Swindoll, he was preaching on exactly that. He said, how a man or a woman begins to get ready to do the will of God. And can I just be honest with you for just a minute? There was a time in my life that I was absolutely scared to death that God was going to have me doing what I'm doing right now. I was scared to death that God would put me in a position that I would be looking at going into full-time ministry. And what I mean by the way, I am full-time, but not working a regular job. Okay? Scared me to death. I said, how in the world can I do that? And now I'm going to tell you where I'm at in my life right now. I got to the point that God dealing with me, that I got to the point I was scared to death that God would not let me do it. And here's what I want you to understand, is because that call on my life is such that I know that I would never be content or happy if I weren't doing what God wanted me to do. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I believe God's called me to the mission field. Well, if God's called you, he's going to make a way for you to go. And by the way, God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Okay? And here's something else. God does not do what he does because of us. He does most of what he does in spite of us. You can study the whole Bible and see that. Now, here's Jonah. He had a call on his life. He was just a mouthpiece. He was to follow God and go down to Nineveh and cry. The word to cry is to preach against the city because the cry, their wickedness, had come up before the Lord. Now, let's look at the next thing that happened is the flight of Jonah. Well, what does Jonah do? We know the story very well. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare, he got into the ship, and he went with them to flee from the presence of the Lord. So he's running from God. Now, sometimes people come up to me and they say, I believe God's called me to preach. First thing I tell them, run. You say, well, why do you tell them that? Here's why, because if they can run and get away, they're not called. And there's too many people today that are saying, God called me to preach, and they're getting in the pulpit, and they're doing a disservice to God because they're not preaching what God wants. They're not preaching the gospel. They're compromising with sin, and we've got too much of that in the world today. Amen. My son and I were up at school recently, and we went up to different booths, and I was going through a little seminary thing with him, getting ready to go into college, and there was a church over here and a church group over there, and we went over, and I just stood back, you know, and trying to be a good dad, that is, and standing away and let him think and talk for himself. And he talked to one guy, and he said, I like him pretty good. I said, there's another one. He went over, and he talked to them. He came back in just a minute. He said, Dad, I don't think much about what these guys are doing over here. He said, they told me, he said, it wasn't as much about Jesus as it was trying to get everybody to be included and everybody to know that they're all right. I want to tell you something this morning. Everybody's not all right. And here's what Jonah was supposed to do. God said, go cry against that city because their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah said, I ain't doing it. He ran. But here's what I want you to understand. If you are called by God, you might as well get ready to go. Because the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Now, you cannot do it, but you'll live your life miserable. Because if you've been saved by the grace of God and you're out of God's will, you're miserable. The reason you're miserable, because there's a conflict and a battle between the spirit and the flesh, and you know what's right, and you are never going to, although you can sin, you're never going to be fully content in it. Because there's something happening inside of you, and everywhere you take your body, you're taking God and the Spirit of God, because the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is within you. Well, here's Jonah. He's on this boat, and all of a sudden, God prepares a storm. That storm comes up, and that boat's rocking, and of course, Jonah, he's down here in the bottom of that boat. The captain comes down, and he says, how can you lie there, old sleeper? Get up. And they got up to the top of the boat and they began to cast lots and they were saying, why has God brought this upon us? Now here's something the scripture said. Jonah had already told them that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And then he told them, and this is the 4th to the 16th verse, that he served the God of the Hebrews, the creator of heaven and earth. And he told them he was running from God. Now here's what they tried to do. They tried to save Jonah. So they begin to row hard and fight against the waves, but God wasn't having any of it. And they even said, Lord, have mercy upon us for this, and please spare us. But they threw Jonah overboard, and when they did, immediately it got calm. And here's the next thing that happened. God sent a big fish. Now we say it's a whale. I believe it was a whale, but the scripture says it was a great fish. The 17th verse says, "Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now you go on down in the second chapter and you begin to read the prayer of Jonah, and he talks about the bars. And you say, "Well, I just don't know if I believe that." Well, folks, I want to tell you something. I believe the Bible, okay? If the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the fish, I'd believe that too. Because I believe that God created us. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe He created man from the dust of the earth. And I believe God can heal. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I believe God has a plan for your life. And I believe that there are angels among us. Now here's Jonah, and I believe that God's got him inside this great fish. Now, we could talk about it scientifically, and they have, and, you know, there's an air pocket in a whale, and we know that they can go down, and they can come up, and, you know, they're actually fish in the sea that breathe on the top of the water. Don't know exactly how God did it, but I can tell you one thing, it got Jonah's attention. And he's in there, and he's running from God, and he said, "I won't do it." But he comes to the point, he cries out for mercy. In the first and the second verse, it says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. He said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice." I want to tell you something, no matter where you go, you can cry out to God, he's going to hear you. I've heard the saying, there are no non-believers in a foxhole. A lot of times people talk about jailhouse salvation. Who gets it? God knows. What about church house salvation? I've seen just as many people come down and say, "God save me, I want to join the church," and you have to send a search party to find them because you never see them again. Amen. What difference does it make? When God speaks to you, it's between you and God. He said, "I cried out of the belly of hell." He said, "But God heard me," and God's going to hear you when you get sincere and cry out to Him. Go over to the seventh verse. He said, "When my soul fainted within me, when I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." What a verse. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now he cries out to God and he prays. And the next thing you see, and I thank God for this, is you see the mercies of God are upon Jonah. In the 10th verse it says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Well, what happened? Here's what I think exactly what happened. I believe God sent that whale right up to the beach, close to where he was supposed to be. It delivered him. Took him right over there where he just had to walk into Nineveh and preach. And it spit him out. And when he got up, he was ready to do God's will. You say, "Well, that seems a little strong." I want to tell you something. The Bible says we're bought with a price. Okay, I heard a man say one time to me, a preacher man, of course I listened to preachers because God was dealing with me. I don't know if they recognized it as much, but I was talking to him about the ministry, and he said this. He said, "When you're saved, you're not your own. When you're called, you're not your own." That's a lot of times what it is with Christianity. Christianity is not just a religion you try to see if you like it and see if it works. What we're talking about is life or death. We're talking about eternal salvation. We're talking about a God, a creator, who if he asked us something, we ought to do it. That's why the Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So here's Jonah, and he's standing there on the beach, and I can just about see him. In chapter 3, we see the call of Jonah the second time. I've heard more than one preacher, more than one teacher, more than one person who has wisdom with the Lord tell me this: "God asked me to do something, I didn't do it. The struggle that I went to when he finally asked me again," it's kind of like me. He said, "I was waiting on him to ask me just so I could be obedient." What did David say? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because there's something about being saved by the grace of God, but not being able to walk in the Spirit of God. It's kind of like this, coming into the house of God and knowing you're supposed to be here, knowing that you're a Christian, you're supposed to be serving, and you look around and everybody in the house is worshiping and enjoying the Spirit, but you can't. You don't enjoy church anymore. You don't enjoy being in God's house anymore. Why? Because you know what's right. You know the Lord. But the relationship that you have with God is tarnished because the walk that you have with God is not right. You'll get to the point that you'll ask God to speak to you so that you can get back to that place. Well, here's Jonah. He's standing on this beach. And it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time in the third chapter, in the first verse, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach. He said, but I want you to preach to them what I tell you to preach. Remember Balak and Balaam? Balaam, you know, he went with Balak, but he had to say what God wanted him to say. He wanted to say something else because he wanted profit out of it. He wanted gain. You know, sometimes, and I've seen this before, I one time was talking to a man. He was excited. He had his chest stuck out. Now, how many of y'all have ever seen a turkey in full strut? Got the feathers, you know, and it's walking around with a swing. That's kind of what he looked like. He looked at me and he said, I got me a church. Yeah. I said, you did. You know what people want? They want to be in the limelight. They want their name on the sign. I know a man one time pastored a little church and they put his name out there, come see the world's greatest pastor. Now, you know, I want people to think well. But when you get out there and say, take my picture by the side. That's the kind of guy he was. Here's what we do. We're not our own. And if we're going to serve God, we're going to have to do it God's way. We're going to have to be obedient. We're going to have to bow down before him in humbleness. And even if God says, preach this, I don't care what you preach. I believe you preach it in love. But he said, Jonah, you go down there and you preach what I tell you to preach to these people. Well, Jonah goes down to Nineveh. In the third verse, said he arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now here's something I want you to see. Big, big city. Wasn't like Jericho. Remember, they marched around it 7 times. Historically, all you got to do is study it, and they can tell you about the ruins of Jericho and tell you based on the way that city was built, it's very possible that that happened. Okay? History proves the Bible. It does not disprove it. The Hittite Empire, for years they said that it didn't exist because it was only mentioned in the Bible until one more archaeological spade was thrown into the rocks and they found the entire city of the Hittites and they said, well, the Bible must have been true in that respect after all. Can I tell you, and this is just a side note, the Bible teaches that if these should hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Have we ever thought about maybe today the rocks are crying out? Every time they overturn a spade, archaeology proves the Bible is true. Amen. So he goes to this city and he goes in a day's journey. Now this is a big city. Here's what I believe this is. I believe he gets there and he's walking and they've heard that he's coming. Now, how many of you have ever spent all day in the water? I have. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get out, I looked like I was whitewashed. Oh, yeah. My fingerprints had shriveled up into little things. I want you to think about what a man would look like that spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish. I can just about see him wearing a seaweed wig. His skin is bleached white, and he comes into the city, and they said, that man of God, that preacher, remember he had a relationship with God. There's talk about him. And by this time, I believe people are following him. And here's what he does. He starts preaching this. He does not say that judgment is coming. He said judgment is here. He said, in 40 days, and in your Bible, when you study the Bible, 40, the number 40 represents judgment. You can find it. 40 years in the wilderness. It's in there in different places. But he's here and he's in this city. He said, in 40 days, he doesn't say, if you repent. He doesn't say that there's a possibility. But he said, in 40 days, this city is going to be overthrown. And he's walking through this city and he's preaching that judgment is here. It's coming. Now here's what I want us to understand from this point forward. These people knew they weren't right. Because if you study and you look at the scripture in chapter 3 in the 8th verse, the king himself says this. He said, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. You see, from the king down, he proclaimed a fast and he cried out to God, the God of heaven, and he said, perhaps if we turn, that God will have mercy upon us, and God will not overthrow the city, and God will not destroy the people, and God will not destroy what we have. He proclaims a fast, and he tells the people to turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Here's what I want you to understand. And I believe it's true today. I believe it's true in America. I believe it's true in this church. I believe it's true in the person that you know right now that's away from God. When people are doing wrong, they don't need someone to give them advice about what the right thing to do is. They already know what the right thing to do is. Sometimes it's like this. You just ask them, are you going to do the right thing or not? Why do you ask that question? Because I want to know what I'm going to have to do to help your family. You already know what's right and what's wrong. America knows what's right and what's wrong. We know that we know in this country that we're in trouble. When he preached that judgment is coming and this city is going to be overthrown, the king didn't run out and say, well, let me call a Christian counselor and see if what I can do is right or wrong. Let me tell you why God told me that his will was contrary to the Bible. I want to say this again. I want to drill it. I want it to understand it. That God is not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to his word. Amen. He's not. I've heard people tell me, well, I believe God told me, and they tell me something that's absolute contrary to the Word of God. It wasn't the God that we preach about in here. There are others. Well, here these people are. They know they're not right with God. They just simply chose to go away from God. The king proclaims a fast, and the people begin to repent. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, the people repent in sackcloth and ashes. The king leads the way. And can I say this? Sometimes when you're wrong, and I think this is all the time, the only thing to do is accept responsibility for what is done and repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn. Just turn away from it. The people turn, and they're crying out to God for mercy. Now, let's look at something great. Look at the 10th verse. It says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, folks, that's fantastic. Here's a people that knew what they were supposed to be doing. They were wrong. The message came. God sent the message that he wanted. Sometimes maybe the reason people don't turn is they're not hearing the right message. Sometimes I ask the Lord that. I say, God, what more can I do? How do you want me to preach, God? What do you want me to preach? What can I read? See, God has to convict by his Holy Spirit. I can't do that. These people's hearts were pricked. They cried out to God for mercy, and I want to tell you something great. God sent mercy. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? I'm thankful for God's mercy. Are we thankful for God's grace? I'm so thankful for God's grace. But here's where it gets real interesting in this story, and this is what I wanted to get to. It's chapter 4. And what I want you to see, and maybe you haven't, a lot of times we spend so much over here about this fish and Jonah that we forget what happens in chapter 4. Chapter 4 says this, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." Here's the question. What's wrong with Jonah? Why is Jonah angry? Have you ever thought about why Jonah didn't want to go down to Nineveh and preach? Sometimes people say something like this, and I've heard this, and sometimes if I make a comment like I'm an introvert, you know, and I'm not an extrovert, and I spoke a little bit about that last Sunday. My wife's an extrovert. My son Matthew's an extrovert. Luke's like me. I don't think that has anything to do with standing up before a crowd and preaching. That's just your personality. But it wasn't personality that made Jonah not want to go to Nineveh. It wasn't anything to do with that. It wasn't because he was afraid to go and stand before the people. It was not because he did not want to preach the word. You see, I believe based on his relationship with God and what we're about to read, he had done it before. There's just a lot of things that aren't written down for us. Why didn't he want to go? You ever thought about it? Well, look and you'll see it in the second verse. It says, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." I'll tell you why Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah did not want to go preach. And listen to what he said. See, he had a conversation with God. He said, "Was not this my saying?" When Job was arguing with God about whether or not he would go to Nineveh, here's why he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that if he went down there and preached and these people repented, God would spare them. You ever thought about that? That's exactly what the Bible says right here. He said, "I knew that God was gracious. I knew that God was merciful. I knew that God was slow to anger. And I knew that God was of great kindness." See, Jonah ran because he understood something that's written in the Old Testament. And I want to flip over and read that. This is in Psalms 103, verse number 8 to 14. This is what Jonah knew. This is what Jonah understood. This is why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach. He said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." Psalms 103, verse 8. "Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust." Hang on to those verses. We'll come back to them in a minute. Here's why Jonah ran. Jonah ran because he knew God and he understood the mercy of God. Wouldn't it be awful to have a pastor that would stand up and preach the grace of God, to preach the mercy of God, to preach about the cross, to preach about how there's salvation for everybody, and to stand right here when the altar call's given? He said, "Don't come. Don't come. You've lived a bad life and you're away from God, and it just bothers me to see you come down here and receive the mercy of God after what you've done." I don't know if you ever thought about it, but that's exactly what's happening in this scripture with Jonah. Who would want a pastor like Jonah? Who would want a deacon like Jonah or a Sunday school teacher like Jonah, or a Celebrate Recovery director, or a Celebrate Recovery sponsor like Jonah? Simple answer is nobody would. Heard a story of a little boy who went to church every Sunday with his grandfather, and one Sunday they went to church, and he said the preacher wasn't there, and they had service, and the little boy asked his grandfather, he said, "Grandfather, who is that man in that picture up there on the wall?" And his grandfather said, "Well, son, that's Jesus." And he said, "I never saw him before." He said, "Because the preacher was always standing in the way." Think about it. You see, we preach it, we read it, we understand it, but here's the thing we have to do with the Word of God. We have to reach out and get a hold of it and do it like this. And we got to bring it back to us. Okay, and we're going to do that in just a minute. Well, now what happens next is Jonah has himself a little pity party. Okay? Every now and then I have my own little pity parties. I try not to share them with too many people. I do share them with my wife a little bit. I come home from work Friday, and I tried my best to get her to go in there and let me get in her lap and her rock me. She wouldn't. Okay, but we all have them. I don't want to have one like this one. Look at what happens to him. It says, "Now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Why? Why was he like this? Because he had a battle. And sometimes you know what we would do when we felt sorry for ourselves. God's calling me to preach. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. You know, I'm serving the Lord. Nobody's helping me. I do all the work over here. Nobody helps me. I do all this over here. Nobody helps me. I'll tell you, if you're not doing it for God, don't do it. Amen. He gets down here and he's starting to have this pity party. Why? Because he looks. It's just like the man who worked for a penny a day, and he started early in the morning. He worked all the way till dark. And then the guy comes over here and he starts about 4 o'clock. At the end of the day, they both get the penny. He said, "It's not fair." It'd be like this. You getting saved when you're just a boy, just a girl. You live your whole life serving God, and you see somebody get saved that's basically at the end of their life. And you say, "Well, I've lived my whole life for the Lord. It's not fair for them to get the same reward I get." I think you misunderstand. Can I tell you this? I'm not miserable serving God. I'm not missing anything serving God. I'm not serving God at the expense of the things in the world. The things out there don't interest me. Now, I hope you can get to that point in your walk with God. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, okay? I'm just a man. And here's Jonah. Here's what he says. "Better that I just die." Then God asked him a question. God asked us this question sometimes. He said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" See, sometimes I have my pity party. I look at my life. I look at my circumstances. And I really am careful. I'll be honest with you, I am. I say, "Lord, help me to see it and understand it. Lord, yeah, I'm having trouble at work, but Lord, thank you for my job. Yeah, Lord, I might be having a little car trouble, but thank you for my car. Lord, I may not have as big a house as I'd like to have, but thank you for my house." Sometimes we got to take things into perspective, and we got to ask ourselves, do we really do well to be angry? Now, here's something to understand. Don't forget when you needed mercy. It's almost like Jonah. Don't you remember those 3 days in the belly of that whale and you crying out? You were a disobedience. Can I tell you something the Bible teaches us? That if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. What Jonah forgot about is he was just as far out of God's will as those people were. Because unto whomsoever knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. So God prepares a lesson for Jonah. Here's what I want us to understand. Look at this 5th verse and see how bad it was. "Jonah went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city. And there he made him a little booth." In other words, a little place to get out of the sun. "He sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city." Now, this is sad but true, but this is the way some people are, and this is where we have to bring it back to us. Jonah is sitting out on the side of the hill watching that city to see what's going to become of the city. Here's what Jonah wanted to see. He wanted to see the fire fall from heaven. He wanted to see God's wrath upon the people of Nineveh. He wanted judgment to come upon them. You say, well, I'm not like that. Well, let's just ask ourselves the question. If we've ever said something like this, have you ever heard this? They made their bed, let them lie in it. If that's ever come out of your mouth, you're not a whole lot different than Jonah. Have you ever made a decision, bad decision, that you needed help with? I have. I've needed God's mercy. How about this one? I hope they get what they deserve. See, if I were to always get what I deserve, I probably wouldn't be here today. Next one. Are you resentful of people who come to Christ from a life of sin and now see them living in the fullness of God's blessings and grace? I heard the testimony of Jeffrey Dahmer. Some of you remember that name. Serial killer. Was he guilty? Bad. But James Dobson went, and there's a group that went and talked to him, and they said while he was in prison, he accepted Christ. And here's what sometimes people don't understand. When you do wrong, I don't care, young people, y'all need to understand this. There's grace, there's mercy, there's also consequences. God's grace and mercy can come, but you can do things in your life and in your body that'll follow you for the rest of your life that you'll never get away from. Jeffrey Dahmer had to pay for the crimes that he had done, but based on what I understand about God's grace, if he prayed and accepted Christ, Jeffrey Dahmer will be in heaven. And it's hard for us to understand that when we look at sin and we understand sin, but let's don't forget that a terrorist wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. His name was Saul. God changed his name to Paul. Because God's mercy and God's grace is far-reaching. And Jonah said, I don't like that, and I'm not going to preach. I want to tell you something, church. We need to be not like Jonah, but we need to ask God that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out mercy, pour out grace. There was a gracious lesson that God gave to even Jonah. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God's grace. See, Jonah was out of line. He was really pretty far out of line. And God could have just said, all right, that's it. But he didn't. Jonah's sitting out here on the side of the hill, and you find this in the 6th to the 11th verse. God sent, and a gourd grew up, just like a big old curtain, a canopy, over him. It's what I like to find. That's why I like the mountains. You know, you go up there, and you get in that shade, and you stick your feet in that water, and temperature drops about 20 degrees. He's sitting there under that gourd, and he said, oh, I'm so thankful for the shade. I'm thankful for how cool it is. And then God sends a worm. I don't like those. The canker worm that devours. You know, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I want that. I want God's hand on my life. The worm comes, and it kills the gourd, and Jonah, he begins to cry out and he grieves for the gourd. And God speaks to him. In the 9th verse, it says, God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Can I stop right here? And I think everybody will understand this. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you've got all the wisdom in the world. You ever know somebody that was saved, active in the church, but they didn't know how to get their foot out of their mouth? Every time you look at them, it's right up to the knee. That's the way Jonah was. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and it perished in a night. And just listen to what God's saying to Jonah in the 11th verse. And then the chapter's over. He said, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? Remember what we just read over here? In Psalms 103, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He remembereth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm thankful for that mercy. I'm thankful that God looks down. And he was even merciful to Jonah. By this time, here's what I think happened. I believe Jonah's head just dropped. We're not God, but we're thankful for God. And there's not a person here this morning that does not need God's mercy and grace. And I believe there's something in this message for everybody, and here's what I want you to understand. The Lord told Jonah, he said, you go preach against Nineveh, for the cry of that city is wicked and it's great and it's come up before me. And I believe if they had not turned, judgment would have come. There's maybe somebody here this morning that's away from God, out of God's will. You've rejected God. God spoke to your heart. This morning, maybe the last time that God knocks on your heart's door and invites you to come. You say, well, can God do that? I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit's got to speak to you and bid you come. And you get to the point sometimes in your life that you turn God away so many times that you'll start begging him to send the Spirit back. Maybe there's somebody here that God spoke to. Maybe there's somebody here that's struggling. We've all got a Nineveh in our lives. Everybody's got family. They've got troubles. They've got something somewhere that they're asking God to deal with. And we want God to deal with them. You ever seen somebody that was in trouble get right with God and it seems like God's pouring blessings out on them to the point that you get a little jealous of what God's doing for them? That's like Jonah. Maybe we need to recognize that everything that we have that's good comes from the Lord, and we just need to surrender and let God have his way in our life. If you look at what happened in this city, and it happened with the people of Nineveh, and it even happened with Jonah, sometimes the only thing that we can do, ask you to come on, Brother Jeff, sometimes the only thing that we can do is simply this. To bow before the presence of a living God. We bow in his presence because he's God and we're not. I'm not. You ever thought about if I was God? Sometimes I think about this. If I was God for a day, it'd be worse than Donald Trump being president. Because I don't have enough wisdom. I even though I try to be humble and show mercy, I'm just a man. That's why as the Holy Spirit speaks to you this morning, whatever God's calling you to do, if he's calling you to come and accept salvation, if he's calling you to renew your relationship, if there's somebody you need to pray for, if there's a Nineveh in your life that you need to ask God to move on, the altars are open. I ask you to stand to your feet. Please be obedient.